Man, I can feel the presence of the Lord just, man, the Holy Spirit's here. Anyway, good morning. It's good to see everybody on this fine, wonderful, dry, beautiful Michigan morning. I can see I better not crack any jokes today or I'll be highly disappointed. Okay. We're going to continue with our series today that is called The Reality of Our Redemption. The title for part three of this series is Cast Your Care. So let me start off this morning doing what I often do, and that's ask you a question to get us all focused, if you will, on what we're about to talk about. So, here we go. But first, see, it's not working today. But first, stand up, and we're going to repeat our Bible declaration today. So if you'd stand with me and hold your Bible up towards heaven, and we will repeat the declaration that you can read off from the screen up here. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's hear it like all of us are. Are you ready?
Ready.
I knew it. All right. Say with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I will do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
Let's do that last part because somebody messed up, all right? All right. We'll start with I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know who that was that messed up, but anyway. So I'm about to ask you kind of a rhetorical question, and that's this, okay? Have you ever been in a situation where you have a need and you just kept praying for God to meet that need over and over again? It was something that you wanted really badly or something that you needed really badly, but you just didn't seem to get an answer. Thank you. In other words, have you ever prayed earnestly for something, and to your disappointment, God just remained silent? Or maybe, you know, he just wasn't home when you came asking, right? Or maybe he was busy, or at least it seemed like that. I mean, other people are praying all around you, and they seem to be getting answers to their prayers, but you not so much. And do you ever wind up getting rather confused and wonder what you should do when you find yourself in a situation like that? You know, should you, just give up? You know, just let it lay and stop asking and waiting for the answer? Basically fail in your faith, if you will? Or should you just get to the place where you let go of all hope that your prayer will ever be answered? Have you ever done that? Okay. Or maybe you should just stop trusting God and quit praying altogether, which might be a little extreme. But sometimes you just don't know what to do. And the temptation is there just to give up because things aren't happening in your time schedule or on your time schedule. And then there's this. How long? I mean, how long should anyone have to wait before you get the answer to their prayer? How long? What's the answer to that? Have you ever asked yourself questions like these? Amen? Okay. I think that most of us have been there. It sometimes happens that when we pray and we believe and we wait and we exercise our faith, but the answer seems to be delayed if it's ever dispatched. Because after all, as a Christian, you know, as a person of faith, because that's what you are, you know this, right? You know that God hears you when you pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And we know that giving up on God is just a tactic of the enemy, all right, who actually strives day and night, if you will, to drive a wedge into your relationship with God. I mean, that's what he likes. He would like nothing better than to have that happen. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 34:15 The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's you. That's me, right? You say, well, I didn't have a real good week, so maybe I'm not righteous. No, your righteousness is in Jesus. Amen? It's found in him. And if you've got him, then you've got righteousness. Anyway, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So that means if you and I cry out to the Lord, he should hear us. Amen? But we end up with some questions, and they're kind of like this. How long is it that we should pray before we should expect to get an answer? And what is it that we could or should do to prompt God to answer our prayer? There must be something we can do. And what attitude should we maintain while we're waiting for an answer to our prayer? I mean, how many of you know that our attitude sometimes, if things don't happen the way we have them planned, can get sort of bad? Okay. And then finally, what should we do if we believe and we hope and keep praying but still don't seem to get any answers? Has that happened to anybody here? Maybe some of you are praying for your sons or your daughters or your grandmas or your grandpas that they would just come to the Lord, and you've been praying, but it's just not happening. Maybe even you've been praying for healing, and it hasn't happened. And you're going, well, other people are getting healed. Why am I not getting healed? It doesn't make sense. I can only say this. How many of you know if we have questions about God, the best place to go is the Word of God? Amen. Amen. Because wisdom is found in the Word. Amen. Say that with me. Wisdom is found in the Word. How many of you, well, I got a lot of questions today, okay? How many of you would like to always, say always, receive heaven's response to your request? How often would you like to see that happen? Well, I'd like to see it happen all the time. Amen? Gary Timmer, could you come up and pray for the message, please? That was just the introduction. So sit tight. No time. I should just quit. Go ahead.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, we do thank you for your presence in this place, God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that today, God, you will accomplish everything that you want done in this place, God.
Yes,
everything,
Lord,
that you want done,
yes, God,
in each one of our lives, God. Each of our hearts today, Lord, through your word. God, your word is life. Father, we thank you for Pastor West, God. I pray that as he speaks today, God, you will just continue to touch him, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that you will invigorate him, God, and energize him.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you. We praise you, God. Be exalted in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. So the first thing that we are going to talk about this morning, if you want heaven's response to your requests, one of the first things that you should do is this. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5:7. I'm just going to look at something here just a minute. Okay. All right. All right. Why don't you read this with me? It's not too hard to read, okay? It's kind of easy to read. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, that's good stuff. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. All right. Just to remind you or to refresh your memory, prayer isn't just this mechanical act, okay? It's not a script that you read or a list that you repeat every day. You don't have to reach certain points and make sure that God knows exactly what you need. Prayer is, by all intents and purposes, a road to foster your intimacy with God. Amen? The more you pray, the more you're going to know God. The more you read about God, the more you're going to know God. Because prayer should bring us into the presence of God. If you're praying every day and you don't sense the presence of God, I'm not going to tell you to quit, but I'm going to just tell you to expect that presence. Because when that presence comes, things change. Amen? They change. And I don't know about you, but I like change, okay? So prayer should bring us into the presence of God. Why? Because when we start to pray, we become face-to-face with God. One of the words for prayer is prosuke, okay? And that pro, that's a compound word, the word pro means up close and personal. It means like nose to nose and hand to hand, okay? Leg to leg. It's right up front and personal with him. And that's where we have to be as we pray, as we get to pray to him. Are you with me this morning? The Apostle Peter, he gave us a key to promoting, if you will, this kind of intimacy. And that is by casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. I want you to know this morning that if you discover or like uncover, if you will, the truth that's in this verse and what it's trying to tell you and I, it will absolutely change your life. Glory, but the word of God will change your life. Amen, if you yield to it, if you receive it. How many of you here this morning, I'm asking a lot of us this morning, okay? How many of you here this morning would like a life that's free from worry? Free from stress? Oh, how about free from anxiety? Amen. Pressure. Free from pressure. Free from fretting or even free from fear. How many of you would like that? Well, let me explain this verse to you just a little bit more. The Greek word that is translated as the word casting in 1 Peter 5:7 is a compound word. It's comprised of the word epi, all right, which means upon, as in on top of something, and the word ripto, and this word ripto means to hurl, okay? To hurl something, okay? To throw, and to cast, or to violently fling something with great force. You get it away from you, you're throwing it away, all right? Now, that's what the word casting conveys in this verse. You'll find that this word is also used in the New Testament again in Luke 19:35, where it says, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast, or they epiripto, their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Are you with me? Okay. When this word is used in secular literature, it often pictured the flinging of a garment, if you will, or a bag, or the excess weight off the shoulders of a traveler and onto the back of something like a beast, okay? Such as a donkey or a camel or a horse or something like that. Are you with me? All right. And you might ask, well, Pastor Wes, why is that so important? Well, the thing is, as we read Scripture and throughout all of Scripture, we can't help but see the fact that we weren't designed to carry the burden of worry and stress. Amen? Come on. Or fretting and fear, and especially not anxiety or depression or pressure. Let me give you just a definition of anxiety, for one, okay? Anxiety is the fear or nervousness about what may happen. Have you ever been there? Yes. Ever been there? The full definition of anxiety is this, okay? It's a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or anticipated ill. That's bad. Anxiety is a fearful concern or interest. It's an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs such as sweating and tension and increased pulse. By doubt, and it comes by doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat that you're going to face, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. You see something coming, and you know it's going to happen, and you're asking the question already, oh God, I don't think I can handle this. I can't do this. That's anxiety. I mean, I hate anxiety. I think I've only had one anxiety attack in my life, but I'll tell you what, it is horrible. If you have ever had an anxiety attack or talked to someone that's had an anxiety attack, gosh, pray for them. It's no fun. But that's what anxiety is. You're confused with a situation that you're confronted with, and you just aren't sure that you can handle it. So please hear me. You and I weren't designed for that. How do I know that? It says that in the Bible. It does. It says, and I'll get to it in just a minute, all right? God created you and I for what? His pleasure. I think I read that somewhere, okay? He created us for his companionship, all right? This kind of emotional load is exactly what the enemy would like you and I to hang on to and carry, because it is too much of a load for you and I. And he would like to see you burdened down by that load every day. Say every day. Every day. In fact, the medical world, and I'm sure you know this, have already confirmed that a major source of sickness and diseases is found in the fact that we internalize stress and pressure and try to deal with it on our own. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You don't want to tell anybody what's going on in your life. What if they judge you, all right? You don't want to tell anybody what's going on in your life, because what if they view you as weak and you want to be viewed as strong in their sight, okay? So you don't tell anybody, and you just internalize it, and you think about it over and over and over again. That causes disease. That causes sickness. That's why Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 6 through 9, and let me read that to you out of the Amplified. And I just want you to listen to this, okay? I'm so tempted to say something here. I want to say something like the Amplified. Just longer, not louder. I knew it. It says this: do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Nothing. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And the God of peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison, and this is so huge, shall garrison or mount guard over your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace will come around you and shelter you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says this: for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise. Now, this is the key. Think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on these things. Then verse 9 says, practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the peace of God, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you. Oh, you ought to get excited this morning. Amen? Amen. We were not fashioned, if you will, to carry the pressures and the stresses and the anxieties and the worries that are all around us. And this is the reason why our body breaks down when it undergoes these negative influences for so long. That's why I talk so often about how you can't be negative. You start talking negative, you become negative. Amen? Your outlook becomes negative. You start talking that way to other people, and they start feeling negative. Here's something that's really, really wise, all right? You ready? Too much stress makes your life a mess. It does. Too much stress makes your life a mess. And you might not think that saying that is very spiritual or it applies spiritually to any situation, but it does. I mean, please hear me. Jesus is calling out to you and to me and saying, your shoulders aren't big enough to carry the burdens that you're trying to bear by yourself. I didn't make you that way. It never has to be that way. This load will eventually break you. So please, please, please let me be your burden bearer. Throw it, toss it, fling it over onto my back. Throw the weight on me and let me carry it for you. And you know what? You know what? It's okay. It's okay if you can't handle the stress. It's okay if you can't handle the pressure and the anxiety and the things that are coming at you at life. Why? Because he can handle it. And he says it in his word, and it isn't just a maybe if you feel like it. He's commanding us, and he's saying, throw it on me. Cast all your care on me. Glory to God. I mean, it's okay if you aren't strong enough to carry the load of stress that either people put on you. And they do. You know why? Because people are mean. If there's one thing I've come to realize since I've been in ministry, never mind. People can put it on you. Your job can put it on you. Mean people put it on you. You can put it on yourself. You know that? You can pressure yourself because you're so afraid of failing. If there's one thing that God would have you know this morning, it is this, all right? It's okay to cast your care on him. In fact, he wants you to cast your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Okay? And I mean it. That ought to get you excited this morning. That ought to make you want to praise. If nothing else today has made you want to praise, that ought to make you want to stand up and shout and just give him all the glory this morning. But you might ask this, okay? Exactly what problems? I mean, I sure can't throw up my problem of pornography on him. Why? Of course you can. It is a lie from the enemy that says you can't cast something on the Lord. Well, I can't cast my problem of gossip on the Lord. Well, he knows it anyway. All right? So of course you can cast your gossip on the Lord. I mean, what problems can you cast on him? All. Say all. All your problems. Now, Peter wrote that. He wrote, casting all. Say all. Casting all your cares on him. The word cares is the Greek word merimna. Merimna. It's close enough. Which basically means anxieties, okay? However, it also means this. It means afflictions. It means difficulty. Every hardship that you're going through, every misfortune that you come upon, any trouble that is in your life, you can absolutely cast it on him. In other words, he cares for anything. Say anything. He cares for anything that causes grief in your life. And glory to God. Well, I just want to bring positive things to the Lord. Then you're going to miss out. You are going to miss out on the possibility of having a carefree, worry-free, stress-free life. I don't know about you, but one thing I've learned in my almost 70 years, okay, is that the Bible says I should do it, I'm going to do it. Okay? I'm going to do it. If the Bible says it, there's a reason for it. So whether the problem in your life is financial this morning, maybe it's marital, maybe you just can't get along with your wife, husband, whatever. Maybe it's job related. Maybe you just feel like you're going to lose your job. Maybe it's family related. Okay? Or business orientated. I don't know what it could be. But say this after me, would you? I can cast all my care on him. Come on. I can cast all my care on him. Say it like you mean it. I can cast all my care on him. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small to cast on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. The word cares is taken from a Greek word that means to be concerned. So he's concerned for you. It's taken from a word that means to be thoughtful. It means he's thinking about you. Isn't that awesome? He's thinking about you. It means to be interested. Cares means to be aware of or to notice or to give painful and meticulous attention to. Jesus Christ gives painful and meticulous attention to you. Glory, that's God. That's our God. And you got to grab a hold of that, people. I mean, he cares that much. You know how much you care for the person that's closest in your life, how much you love them? That's nothing compared to how much he loves you. Nothing. You know how you can forgive somebody you love? Just imagine what God can forgive you of, because he loves you that much more. He cares. Glory to God, he cares. Peter used this word to make sure that we understood completely that Jesus really does care about you and I and about the things that touch us or burden us. In fact, he gives his complete and total attention to what's happening in our lives. If something affects us, it concerns him. Okay? No, you didn't hear me. If something affects us, it concerns him. Don't ever buy the lie. Never buy the lie that your burdens are too small or that your burdens are too insignificant to bring to Jesus. I mean, that's nothing more than devilish deception. In other words, it's a lie. It's just plain a lie. The Lord is interested in everything. And come on, people, say everything. He's interested in everything that touches you. Now, because of the Greek words that are used in 1 Peter 5:7, this verse could be written out like this, okay? Boy, I feel the anointing today. Take that heavy burden, that difficulty or challenge you are carrying, the one that has arisen due to circumstances that have created hardships and struggles and anxiety in your life, and fling, glory to God, and fling or toss or throw those worries and anxieties onto the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him carry them for you. The Lord is extremely interested and captivated by everything that touches your life. And he is genuinely concerned about your welfare. Wow. And that is the reality of our redemption. You get that when you get the Lord. When you say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and change me, I believe you died and rose from the dead, you get this. You get this caring. You get this God who is watching over everything that you do. That's the reality of our redemption. You know, when I saw these Greek words and I realized how deeply Jesus cares about the burdens and things that have been weighing heavily on my heart, during this season, I just realized, you know, I was carrying a load I didn't have to. Picture this, all right? Jesus is standing right by your side. Right by your side. Just longing to help you. And even inviting you to shift the weight from your shoulders to his shoulders. I mean, you are so burdened down, you can't stand it. Have you ever been at the place where that burden that you've been carrying is so heavy that you just can't do it anymore? Amen? He's going, hey, give it to me. Give it to me. He's saying to fling and violently cast your cares and your troubles and your anxieties unto him. You know, it's so good when you can do something that Jesus tells you to do and you can physically feel something lift off from your shoulders. Amen? Now, it's up to you this morning to cast your cares, okay, your burdens, your stresses, and your ministry concerns. So come on, people, you give the Lord some praise this morning. Everything, your personal concerns, your family concerns, your marital concerns, praise God, the sin and iniquity and transgression and trespass that is in your life, it concerns him, amen? And anything that stresses or overloads you or brings you anxiety, and cast it over onto the Lord and let him carry those burdens for you. Amen? Are you with me? You know, he's the burden bearer. Amen? He is the problem carrier. He will lift your load no matter how heavy it is to you. And as Isaiah 61:3 says, he will give you, for that garbage that you're going to give him, come on, he will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Wow. Wow. I mean, that is amazing. Because he cares for you and you and you and you and you and you and you, everyone in this room. So, in my thinking, all right, it's just time for you to intentionally and on purpose make the decision to cast your cares on Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. And feel the relief that only Jesus can bring. Okay. Okay. Ushers, would you come up here, please? I want you to hand these out to the people. I don't know. Make sure everybody's got one. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. And you can't tell me that there's nothing in your life that's causing you stress right now, that there's nothing in your life that's troubling you right now. You can't tell me and have me believe you, okay? And so the idea this morning, and I'm not going to read them after you guys leave. You know, Monday morning I'm not going to be uncrumpling these things. But I want you to write down on here, just write, Jesus, take my, and list it out. List them out. And I want you to do this. Some of you have family problems. Some of you have money problems. Some of you have faith problems. Some of you have commitment problems. All right? Now, when you get these pieces of paper, I want you to just pause a second and look up here, and I'm going to show you what we got to do with this, okay? You're probably wondering, why are we doing this? There's something about physically doing something that helps you remember that you've done it.
Amen.
Okay? So just take a few more minutes, whatever you've got to write down. And you know what? You can write one thing down, you can write 50 things down, 100 things. It doesn't matter to Jesus. He can handle them all. When you're done, if you would just look up here so I'd know that you're done. If this isn't big enough, get something else and write it on. Write on both sides, I don't care. All right. Now Jesus said, or Peter said, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. This is what he didn't say. All right? And I want you to look this morning. This is what he didn't say.
Go over and hand him those things. Set them right here.
No. Are you done writing? Is anybody still writing? If you are, you'll catch up. But this is what it did say. He said, take that and fling it, toss it, get it away from you, okay? To visit it no more. Throw it as far away from you as you can get it. So I'm going to invite you right now to come to this altar and take that piece of paper and what you've written on it, crumple it up, and get it away from you. Throw it, toss it, be done with it. Amen? Come on. Come on. I'll get out of the way. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. And you can do that as many times in a day that you have to, okay? This isn't a one-time thing. If you weren't able to leave it here, you can throw it up here again, all right? Amen? Yeah. That's the wonder of our God. Glory to God that we can just toss and fling and throw all of our cares on him, all of our anxieties on him. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The reality of our redemption, and I'm by no means done with that series, because there is so many realities that we don't take advantage of because we don't know. Amen? Because we don't know, or maybe we did, and now we've forgotten. I mean, can you imagine all these papers up here? I mean, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Pray with me, please. Lord, I'll ask you to forgive me and whoever needs that, God, for just not realizing how good you are. Help us all to just take advantage of those things that you have given us. Lord, to get these things away from us, to get them done and over with, to fling, toss, heave, whatever, hurl, God, these things away. And God, we'll thank you for it. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen and amen.